All right, I want to ask you to open your Bible to Luke chapter 2 tonight. Luke chapter 2. We're continuing on with looking at these songs of Christmas. And we find five of them in Luke 1 and 2. Last week we began looking at Elizabeth's song. When Mary came to visit her, the Holy Spirit inspired Elizabeth to give a song of comfort to Mary. And then last Sunday night, Samuel Finneran gave us a message on Mary's song, her song of worship to the Lord, and encouraged us to worship with Mary. And then this morning we looked at Zechariah's song. Once he got his tongue unloosed and unleashed, and after 9 months, the Lord put him in time out, so to speak, for 9 months. He couldn't say anything. And then the Lord let him speak, and he gave praise to the Lord for the provision and preparation of salvation. And then the next song that we come to is the angel's song. And then, Lord willing, next week we're going to look at Simeon and his song also in Luke chapter 2. So to set the scene for the angel's song, we have to remember what happened in the beginning of Luke chapter 2, and that's the birth of Jesus. And the best way to remind ourselves of that is to read that. So look at Luke 2, 3 verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now we have the angels. They enter, verse 1, then many. And we read about them, verses 8 through 14. So let's continue reading, verse 8. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men. We have the song really there in verse 14. But first we're told about the audience for the song. Notice the audience for the song, verses 8 and 9. It was the shepherds. Now, I want you to think about the audience that was deserved, the audience that Jesus deserved. Who was that? Everybody in the entire universe. Why? Because Jesus is the Creator, the firstborn of all creation, the most preeminent one. And when we think about who Jesus is, He's the Lord, the second person of the Trinity. All people on the earth, every living thing, every created thing should have been the audience for this song. And think about the audience that wasn't there. The chief priests and elders of the Jews were not there. The kings, the governors, Caesar Augustus, he wasn't there. He should have been there instead of collecting taxes. The audience that God chose, verse 8 again, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. The audience for that song was just shepherds. Poor, humble shepherds, even a despised group like shepherds. God chose to have them be the audience for this song. He did that on purpose. These shepherds were at work. It was nighttime. They were working third shift, maybe you could think of it. And in the midst of that, God spoke to them. We don't know their names. They're just shepherds. And that tells us that God is gracious to whomever He chooses to be gracious. And oftentimes He chooses the humble and the lowly. It's for all classes of people, even the lowest and the least. So the audience for the angel's song. And then we see in verses 10 through 12 that there was a preparation for the angel's song. Leading up to that, the shepherds needed to be prepared for this song. It wasn't just a concert that they could sort of just enjoy. They needed to be prepared to receive the message they were being given. And verse 10 tells us that they needed comfort. Verse 10, the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." The shepherds were scared, even to just see this one angel. They were sore afraid. They were terrified. And that's often the case when we read about people seeing angels. They're terrified. And the angel says, "Fear not. Fear not." He's bringing good tidings of great joy. We get the word evangelism from this word, bring good tidings. He was bringing the gospel to them. And then he prepares them with telling them about Jesus Christ. Look at verse 10 again. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Here we have the birth announcement of Jesus. Oftentimes when there's a birth announcement, a family will invite other people to share in the joy that's come to their family, the joy, the gift that they've been given. But notice that the angel says that this gift came with a tag, and what did it say? It said, "Unto you." The angels didn't say, "Unto us." The angels said, "Unto you." Just as Isaiah said, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Isaiah 9:6. He was born for them. He was born for us. And who is he? The angels say, a Savior. A Savior. You know, if those shepherds knew the Old Testament, they would know that this same word is used of Othniel and Ehud in the book of Judges. God raised up those men to rescue and deliver people from political oppression. And this child would be a Savior to deliver people from not just political oppression, but spiritual salvation, to deliver from sin. And then they say the child is Christ. The angel says the child is Christ. You know, that's not just his last name. That is a word that means anointed. Prophets and priests and kings in the Old Testament were all anointed. They were set apart for their ministries. And of course, Jesus is all of those things, prophet, priest, and king. And then the child is the Lord, the angel says. He is the supreme master, the Lord. In the Old Testament, this word is used for Yahweh, Jehovah God. And certainly the angel knew that that was true about his identity as well. And then where was Jesus to be found? Where would we expect to find God born into the world? We would expect, from our way of thinking, to find him in the best house in the city, maybe the palace or the mansion, the best hospital with the latest technology, the finest clothes. But notice where the angel says they would find him. Verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. In a manger. A manger is a place where animals feed. Maybe it was in a stable, maybe it was in a cave like we sang, or a barn. A place where animals were. It was a very low and humble place for the Creator of the universe to make His entrance into the world. See the contrast of who He is and how He came. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich." And so the shepherds, the audience, were prepared to receive this song. And then we see the presentation of the angel's song, verses 13 and 14. Verse 13, "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God." Suddenly there was a whole host of angels that joined with this one angel for celebration. What's a host? Well, a host is an army. It's an army. Jesus said in Matthew 26:53, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and He shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" Here was a host of angels, and they weren't fighting at this time. What were they doing? They were praising. They were giving God praise. I wonder if any of those angels said, "Hey, wait a minute, is this the right place? Gabriel, are you sure you got the right place? Is this the right place that we're supposed to be praising God? There's only 5 shepherds here. And here we are, a host. No, this is the right place." God didn't give them a minimum amount of people to be there to hear the angel's song. And really, the shepherds weren't the main audience anyway. Because notice what they say. Verse 14. "Glory to God in the highest." The presentation of the angel's song was really to God. Glory to God in the highest. The highest means heaven. This was really heaven's song, and the shepherds, these few shepherds, were able to be there and witness that. This is what they sing in heaven. Glory to God in the highest. Now they're giving God praise for the salvation through Jesus Christ. God deserves all the honor for this song, for the announcement of the birth of Jesus. The angels don't benefit from salvation. But they do praise God for what's going on. They see what's going on. And they see what just was unfolding here in Bethlehem when Jesus was placed in that manger. And they praise God for that. And then that praise was for the benefits that God would give on earth. Look at verse 14 again. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." These are the things that man can have a part in. Peace. Peace of conscience with God. Peace with others. Peace with those that are at war with one another, nations. It all comes from God's gift of a Savior. Colossians 1:20 says, "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." And then goodwill toward men. Goodwill is God's favor. It is His pleasure. It's His delight. And God offers that to men. And it's all of grace. And the shepherds experience that. That night. They didn't do anything to deserve this message, this announcement. Humanly speaking, they were the least deserving of it. But God showed His favor and His delight and bestowed that upon them. And then notice finally the response to the angel's song, verse 15. What did the shepherds do? Verse 15, it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. The shepherds acted on what they heard. They believed the report that had been given them, the word from God that was sent through angels. Not everybody who knew did that. Think about the religious leaders just a little bit later who were consulted by the wise men. Where is he that's to be born king of the Jews? And they looked it up and they found it. But did they go? No, they didn't go. They knew the right answer, but we don't find them in Bethlehem. Instead, we find lowly shepherds, humble shepherds, nobodies, who believed the truth of God's word that was given to them by angels, and they went. We see this song of the angels that's given to us. And it's up to us to act on it still today. Jesus is no longer in Bethlehem, but he is near to us. He's near to everybody who will come to him and believe his word, who will act in faith, who will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to hear God's call and to believe, to receive that gift. And there's still people today that don't do it. They don't act on what they know. They may be very intelligent. They may know even the gospel. They know God's word, but they don't act on it. They don't believe, truly. And people like that will be eternally separated from God. And one day they'll discover Jesus as a judge and face eternal shame and punishment because they never believed. But these shepherds believed. Believe God's word about this gift. It is for us. It's like a gift with a name tag on it, and it's for us. Jesus Christ. He was born for us. Believe on Christ as Lord, and we can experience the peace and the goodwill that those angels sang about. Goodwill to men. Goodwill to men who believe. Men like these shepherds who acted on God's word. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the song of the angels. Lord, we are amazed when we think about it that you would do all this for lowly shepherds, for just a few. But your ways are higher than our ways. Your ways are not our ways. And we're reminded that you use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And we see that even in the way that you came into the world. We know you're still doing that. And so we pray that we'd be like these humble shepherds and simply believe your word and to accept this gift that was given to them and to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.